Oh, Seekers, before we get started on tonight's episode of Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, let me get a few excuses out up front. You Seekers out there know that I'm not exactly digitally capable, even when it comes to choking the chicken. And with the help of numerous hands, I finally got the computer system hooked up, but I still don't have some crucial DirectX functions that, shamefully to say, I've gotten quite used to using to clean up the crap that I make you listen to. Oh, so I'm dragging out a rerun, but it is a high-quality one, Seekers. Yes, the Agnes Milstead Show from May 24th, 1997. And while it is a little self-indulgent, it is choice. This show was the one that sent longtime listener David McAllister into severe post-traumatic stress shock. Oh, it's the one where I play the theme to the Christian youth folk musical about Jesus, Natural High, something he had to perform in when he was in the clutches of a pink religion. Heads up, David, you might want to cover your head with pillows for this one. Oh, the references to Stang and Jesus being in town will tip you off that it was done just after the Atlanta 97 revival, Krakatoa east of Dobbstown, pictures of which are still available for viewing at subgenius.com. Oh, but in it, I do have some nice chunks of things. Even if it is punctuated with some of my trademark misinformation, such as, Tom Lehrer teaching at Stanford. It turns out I was led astray. He was really at MIT. Oh, and yes, at the time I didn't know whence came the reprehensible little Marky with his diary of an unborn child. I've since found out he's Marco, I can't remember his last name, but yeah, he's a pudgy adult who sweetened up his voice to Cartman levels. Ooh. Yes, Diary of an Unborn Child, the Why Did You Kill Me Mommy refrain was left on some poor bombed abortion clinic's answering machine. Ooh. It is truly chilling. But above all, Seekers, get ready for the things that used to make my show great. Get ready for a lot of tape hiss and bad pops. And keep in mind, this was done in the pre-mixer days when all I had was a JVC tape deck and a bad microphone. So with those excuses out of the way, why don't we get into my manifesto of why I do this thing anyway, on Bob's Slacktime Funhouse.
This is a fair warning. The show which you are about to hear, Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, is intended only as parody and satire. The views and opinions expressed here are solely those of a deranged loner and a self-proclaimed bimbo at that, and should not reflect on the high standards set by WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech. If you possess an overly impressionable type of personality, or if you just suffer from a low humor level and an inability to handle irony in your life, you're advised to shut off your radio, pull the plug, and make a pile of sofa cushions in a corner away from windows, and huddle under them there for the next hour or so. When the greenish gamma radiation fades from the horizon, that will mean it's safe to come out. Okay? This is not a drill. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1... Oh, hasn't this been a lovely show tonight, Seekers? This is that little drag queen with more flues to the ooze, bidding you a sweet good night, leaving you with a final thought. If it doesn't hurt, then you're probably not doing it right. Good night, speakers.
Okay, bring up outro theme music. Mic out. And scroll in red. And cut! Another great show, Miss Milstead. It's always a pleasure working with a star of your magnitude.
Ah, cut that crap, Johnny. You just make sure those idiots up there are lighting me right. Yeah, speaking of lights, hey, I could use a cigarette here. Carol Ann, where are you? I'm not paying you to sit on your butt, girl. Hey, watch it with a lighter. You're a fire hazard. Yeah, what a day. Hey, yeah, you over there by the water cooler, old bitch. Yeah, you. Those surefire lines you wrote me for the monologue tonight fell flatter than your ass. You'd better get funny faster. You're out on your can, capiche? Yeah, I ain't playing favorites, Mom. Hey, Fred, I want to see the scripts for the next three shows.
Yes, Miss Milstead.
Yeah, let's see. I ain't doing no more damn nude scenes with octopuses or whatever it is this crazy bimbo does. Oh, great! Look what they've got me doing on page 3!
Miss Milstead, the camera crew is here. They're ready to do the promo for the new film.
Oh, wonderful. You guys are masters of timing. Oh, where's my stand-in? Hey, Conchata, get your ass over here. Makeup! Yeah, I need a touch-up here. Hey, watch it with the mascara. You trying to put my eye out? Jeez.
I'm sorry, Miss Milstead.
Oh, Lester, dig me up some background music.
What do you want?
Oh, hell, I don't care. I don't know any of that crap you guys play for me. Just something schmaltzy or floozy or something. Jeez, friggin' throwbacks. Oh, I have to do everything around here. Oh, this dump would fall apart without me. Okay, that's enough. I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille.
Recording!
Hello, I'm Miss Agnes Milstead, the Tony Award-winning actress who plays the role of Reverend Susie the Floozy every other week here on Bob's Slacktime Funhouse. And I'm inviting all of you seekers out there to join us as we take a little trip behind the scenes of this wacky little show. Oh, and isn't it wacky, though? When my agent Saul Weberman told me I was up for this role back in 1966, I frankly thought he was out of his mind. I mean, I, Miss Agnes Milstead, a respected figure of the American stage, playing this throwaway part of some merrymaking lady with rather dubious morals and even more dubious musical tastes. Solly, I told him, oh, you've got to be Meshuggah. Oh, but I'll do it. This could be my ticket back to Broadway. Off Broadway, he said, but he didn't say just how far. But once Solly showed me a few pictures of these lovely, hot young Georgia Tech students, well, I packed up my Tonys and headed down the eastern seaboard to this charming little radio station here in Atlanta. Oh, and at least his job's keeping me in clover, and my residuals from the hour of slack keep rolling in with such frequency that I've had to hire an extra accountant just to count my money. Oh, and believe me, I do need help keeping up with everything here. I'm only a woman after all, and one mere woman certainly couldn't pull off a show like this alone. Oh, but luckily, we have a payroll of several hundred people whose job it is to see to it that Bob's Slacktime Funhouse remains at the top of the Arbitron heap. Bob's Slacktime Funhouse is the only show currently in syndication that has more producers than The Simpsons. And we're not going through a fallow period like those slackers, because we've got the right motivation. money and lots of it. Oh, yes, money is no object for the impresarios here at WREK Atlanta. Why, just look at this splendid soundstage. Doesn't the color do wonderful things for my hair? Well, that's no accident. The very best set designers slaved for a month on this place, and some of them had to literally give their blood to get just that perfect note of russet in the paint. You might argue that this is a little excessive, considering that this is all done for radio and the set is never actually seen. Oh, but believe me, I'd know the difference. And it would be reflected in the timbre of my performance, and we can't have that. That's why WREK takes the extra trouble to fly me in the latest fashions from Paris and Milan twice a week. Besides my own personal bodyguards, holistic acupuncturists, and Siamese twin masseuses, or masseurs, I never know which they are, our full-time studio staff consists of the finest mob-approved IATSE stagehands, gaffers, and key grips, as well as a totally equipped dungeon full of best boys. And just to make sure the comedy well never runs dry, we have two large windowless buildings full of staff writers working ceaselessly day and night with an eye to the latest audience sensibility trends, all to ensure that you will experience not only the most tasteful humor in Atlanta radio today, but lots of it. Furthermore, my elite cadre of technical assistants tirelessly scour the finest musical libraries of the world, paying top dollar for rare material. Oh, but we don't stop there. We sweeten each track digitally, combing it for pops and scratches, and then edit everything into an aurally palatable mix with the help of our sonic psyops, who know just which switches to pull when to deliver the subliminal mind punches in just the right spot. With this much help, putting on this show is a breeze. All I have to do is sweep in on Saturday night and read the script, and the magic just happens. So when you're looking for a magically good time, seeker, take it from me, Miss Agnes Milstead, and simply turn your radio dial with a sprightly flip of the wrist to WREK Atlanta, 91.1 FM, and Bob Slack.
Ow! This bimbo's
hurt the meaning
of bad
this?
Enough out
I'm
here.
I'm Miss Agnes Milstead.
Oh, who gives a rat's patoot? Pay no attention to the vicious old pink bitch behind the curtain while I figure out what's going on here. All right, people, I want some answers. Oh, wait. I forgot, there are no people. It's only me and a bimbo-rigged microphone. That's right, I'm the real Reverend Susie the Floozy, and it's time you seekers heard the unpleasant truth about how this nasty little show of mine is put together. And believe me, it's not going to be pretty. Like my staff writers. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Oh, yeah, but let me soften you up a little first. Do me a theme song, Jose. And do me a favor, don't get your wang caught in the strings this time. Jeez.
Oh, Susie Q. Susie Q. Oh, Susie Q, Mama, I dig you, Susie Q. Oh, Susie Q, yeah. Susie Q. Oh, Susie Q, baby, I love you, Susie Q, yeah. Talk
Desperate guy humping my leg. Oh, back in your porta kennel, Jose. Oh, that wasn't too self-indulgent, was it, Seekers? You know, like a single one of my shows hasn't been self-indulgent. But that's not surprising when you consider that this side of Bob's Slacktime Funhouse is the product of one lone assassin. I mean, one lone, bitter, schizomoronic girl. Or at least that's what I'm closest to resembling on this miserable planet. Oh, but at least I have my own set of ironclad requirements for material. That selection made the cut not only because of Jose's shameless butt-kissing. It also met my exacting criteria for this side of Bob's Slacktime Funhouse. It must be either bad, or stupid, or weird. And most of all, it must be incredibly cheap. Because badness, stupidity, and weirdness are the three basic food groups to me seekers. But oh, cheapness is paramount. The sad truth is that I don't make anything doing this show, and I never will if I have my way. Hey, the term is sub-genius after all. But it does kind of limit my resources, wouldn't you think? So when I started on this frog march to X-Day all those years ago, I set myself a goal that I have seldom, if ever, violated. I resolved, as Bob is my witness, never to spend over a dollar for anything I ever play on the show. There. So now you know. I'm glad it's finally out. I guess this explains a lot about the content of my show. Oh, but think of this, Seekers. The dollar albums in my collection are the expensive ones. I've gotten off as cheap as a dime per album. Oh, but despite this seeming limitation, Bob has provided me with a rich bounty of cheesiness squeezed from the pores of the thrift stores of this great nation. And my show is all the better for it. Consider the ugly possible alternatives. If I had to ever actually have a high-paying job, I might have settled for getting costly contemporary CDs from pink conspiracy music stores. In which case, you'd be listening to the same homogenized, ball-less crap that every other radio station in Atlanta offers. Instead, Bob has opened the floodgates to a timeless tsunami of sleaze, a head-spinning melange of the most obscure, hideous head trips out there. Head trips from loons, losers, conmen, maniacs, megalomaniacs, egomaniacs, monomaniacs. Ooh, that's me. All of the above. I guess that's why I like my vinyl friends so very much. To the point of obsession, I'm afraid. But obsession is what this church is all about, after all. That's what any church worth its pillar of salt is all about when you get down to brass tacks. Obsession! Oh, but it's given me virtual buddies for life, like Tom Lehrer, the accomplished pianist. Pianist. Tom Lehrer had a bright and bizarre musical career throughout the 50s, but when the 60s rolled around, the lure started to pale for him. He felt a higher calling than Carnegie Hall. So Tom Lehrer turned away from his piano and returned to Stanford University, a hotbed of eccentricity, where he had been a professor of mathematics. I discovered this from an internet inquiry, and as far as I know, he's still out there at Stanford teaching. Oh, sweet, sweet Tom Lehrer. How I love to go to the park with him.
A suppering is here. Life is Skittles and life is beer. I think the loveliest time of the year is the spring. I do. Don't you? Of course you do. But there's one thing that makes spring complete for me and makes every Sunday a treat for me. All the world seems in tune on a spring afternoon when we're poisoning pigeons in the park. Every Sunday you'll see my sweetheart and me as we poison the pigeons in the park. When they see us coming, the birdies all try and hide, but they still go for peanuts when coated with cyanide. The sun's shining bright, everything seems all right when we're poisoning pigeons in the park. La 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 la. We've gained notoriety and caused much anxiety in the Audubon Society with our games. They call it impiety and lack of propriety and quite a variety of unpleasant names. But it's not against any religion to want to dispose of a pigeon. So if Sunday you're free, why don't you come with me and we'll poison the pigeons in the park. And maybe we'll do in a squirrel or two while we're poisoning pigeons in the park. We'll murder them all amid laughter and merriment, except for the few we take home to experiment. My pulse will be quickening with each drop of strychnine we feed to a pigeon. It just takes a smidgen to poison a pigeon in the park.
Okay, well, I'm in Beverly Hills now, right in front of Gucci's.
You know this place.
Sure.
What do you think of the prices in here?
I wouldn't go in because I can't afford it.
Are you all here together?
No, I'm with her. I'm with my sister.
I'll tell you why I'm asking. What's wrong?
You see this chair here? Do you know how much this chair is?
No, I don't.
$15,000.
Seriously?
Absolutely seriously, because I asked.
Wouldn't you like to buy something today in Beverly Hills for a quarter?
For a quarter, yes. Even $10.
All right, I'll tell you what. Because I'm the man on the street, I am authorized to sell today. If you look behind, you see this trash barrel here? Do you see the garbage in there? I can sell this garbage at 25 cents for whatever you find in there.
Okay. I wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
I wouldn't.
Okay, look in the garbage pail. Pick what you want. Give me a quarter and take it home. And remember, we're right in front of Gucci's. This isn't just the ladies looking inside.
I'm not going to pay you a quarter for garbage.
He's going to give you a quarter for taking garbage away, right?
Why do you want to establish the fact that Rodeo Drive sells garbage?
People can't buy things here. It's too expensive. You go in here.
That's not true. You buy quality, sir.
You're going to learn the meaning from life in this. I'm going to reach into the trash here. Okay, here's an ice cream sundae cup that I'm taking out. Look at this. Somebody wiped their lips. Ugh, it's horrible.
What are you trying to push off on us?
Take this disgusting thing home.
What are you trying? I'm a New Yorker. What are you trying to prove? You're trying to prove...
Tell him why he's on the wrong track.
Come here, look right in there. What are you...
What are you pointing to garbage for when there are so many other beautiful things?
Where is this garbage from?
I don't give a damn where the garbage is from.
It's Beverly Hills garbage.
No, there's no garbage in Beverly Hills.
On top of my dump truck, I'm getting my thrill.
Collecting the garbage.
Collecting the garbage.
In Beverly Hills.
In Beverly Hills.
No one's on a diet.
No one's on a diet.
In Beverly Hills.
In Beverly Hills.
I hate to be paying.
I hate to be paying.
Their grocery bills.
Their grocery bills.
The rinds of the melons are tossed on the scraps of prosciutto ham. The leftover orders are piled in a stack nice and neat. The half-empty bottles of light white wine are placed by the bones of the fish. And the full-bodied red wine is placed by the bones of the meat.
My dump truck is sprinkled.
My dump truck is sprinkled.
With chlorophyll pills.
Chlorophyll pills.
The garbage is fragrant.
The garbage is fragrant.
In Beverly Hills.
In Beverly Hills.
Look at that garbage.
One look at that garbage
will cure all your ills.
Cure all your ills.
There's a such wholesome garbage.
There's such wholesome garbage.
Beverly Hills.
In Beverly Hills.
Gee, when you said you were going to take out the trash, I expected at least dinner and a movie. Oh, who would figure that I would actually have two different selections involving garbage in Beverly Hills? That first one was by Mal Sharp, the last man on the street interviewer, asking insolent bystanders if they wanted to buy something out of the trash can on Rodeo Drive for a quarter. Oh, Mal is a familiar, subversive figure in San Francisco radio through the 70s. And I saw him, I guess it was last year, on a BP Petroleum Company commercial. Just for a short while, though, he was doing that gig where he was interviewing these computer-enhanced talking car grills. But, oh, poor Mal. Chevron came out with their own animated talking car commercials, and somehow his ads for BP got yanked. But, hey, it was nice to see him again. A little grayer, but still carrying on. The other trashy song that followed was from the garbage collector in Beverly Hills, another work songs for the odd job holder by Irving Taylor. Yeah, I happened to snag that one when I went out to the Salvation Army with Stang and Jesus a couple weeks ago looking for that Arnold Palmer golf club for the head launching. Oh, this was just sitting right there in the rack waiting for me. I think Stang was kind of sobered at seeing my luck in action, but it doesn't always happen like that. Oh, just lucky, I guess. But, oh, how do I do it at all? Beats me. All I know is it's like every 2 weeks, all the divergent parts of my personality fight like Japanese monsters, and then they team up and grind out yet another horrifying show. And if you thought I was leading up to the point where I tell you how I do it all, but hey, I don't have a clue. It just kind of happens, and then I'm left in a pool of my own warm fluids, feeling that stunned sense of accomplishment, and I don't know where it comes from. It's as if something straight out of Strange Universe takes me over and makes me do these things. It's like someone, or some body, is pulling my strings, channeling through me, making me build this musical Winchester house of worship and pancakes. Every other week means another new room, another stairway to nowhere, another door opening onto a brick wall. Oh, and by now I've added almost 80 hour-long rooms to Bob's ghastly necromansion of slack ear. Oh, I don't know how I managed to pull it off over and over again, but all I can think is I have a solid framework to build on. Maybe that's it. And you can't get the kind of building materials I need from Home Depot, because I insist on building Bob's Slacktime Funhouse of the element which made America the greatest musical power in the world, vinyl. Like this nasty little piece of vinyl I found, a 45 I got for 15 cents last week. Oh yeah, Mosquito Rita by Sue Alexander. And the record company's name is Suzander Records. So I know there's got to be little or no second party cautionary editorial input going on here. So, oh, it's a good thing. In fact, we'll be hearing the other side of this record later, which means I shelled out 7.5 cents for the solid entertainment. Now that's value. But wait, there's more. I'm also going to throw in lesbian guitarist Willie Tyson and her incomprehensibly poetic song, Paranoia. How much would you expect to pay for entertainment like that, Seekers? Well, don't answer yet, because I'm going to throw in the obnoxious child evangelist Little Marky's song, Diary of an Unborn Child, at no additional cost.
Meet Mosquito Rita. Mosquito Rita is the swinginest bug. She makes her music on the top of a jug. And when the moon is shining way up high, she flips around and does a dance in the sky. Mosquito Rita is a fabulous gal. Her favorite friend is a bug named Hal. They like to buzz around the big church steeple, and Rita likes to take a bite out of people. Mosquito Rita is the queen of them all. She likes to twirl around the lights of a hall. She never tires of her rhythm and dance. You want to see her do her fanfare prance. Mosquito Rita went to old Mexico. She fell lying on his big fat toe. He gave a slap and she fell to the ground. Poor Skinny Rita couldn't make a sound.
Mary's baby grinds away on the turntable here. Let me prepare you for little Marky and his diary of an unborn child. Oh, you're about to hear a rabid right-to-life thing done by some sort of deranged little munchkin. His age is anybody's guess, but, oh, Seekers, I swear to you on a stack of Revelation X's, I have not done anything to adulterate the voice you are about to hear in any way, shape, or form. I have not speeded it up. And since I found this record without an album cover,
It's anybody's guess what this little worm really looks like. But, oh, the sound of that voice. And if his voice weren't creepy enough, oh, his message chills me to the bone. But in view of the fairness doctrine, just let me preface little Marky here with a little point-counterpoint of my own. I am not only pro-abortion. I, Reverend Susie the Floozy, personally feel that I'm not going to be happy until there are drive-through abortion kiosks so that I don't have to get out of my damn car. But enough level-headed arguments. Let's move on to Little Marky and Diary of an Unborn Child.
October 2nd. Today, my life began. My parents do not know it yet. I am as small as the pollen of a flower, but it is I already. I will be a boy. I will have blonde hair and blue eyes. Nearly everything is settled already. October 19th. I have grown a little, but I am still too small to do anything by myself. My mother does everything for me, although she still does not know that she is carrying me under her heart. But I am a real person, just as a crumb of bread is still real bread. My mother exists, and I do too. October 23rd. My mouth is just now beginning to open. Just think, in a year or so, I'll be laughing, or later I'll start to talk. My first word will be, Mama. October 25th. Today my heart began to beat. It will beat softly for the rest of my life, never stopping. After many years, it will tire and stop, then I shall die. November 2nd. I am growing continually. My arms and legs are taking shape, but I must wait a long time before these tiny legs will raise me to my mother's arms. November 12th. Tiny fingers are beginning to form on my hands. How small they are. One day I'll stroke my mother's hair and tell her how nice she is. November 20th. Only today the doctor told my mother that I'm living here under her heart. How happy she must be. Are you happy, Mother? November 25th. Today is Thanksgiving. My mother and father are probably thinking about a name for me. And they don't even know that I am a little boy. So they are probably calling me Barbara. But I want to be called Andy. I am growing so big. December 10th. My hair is growing. It is as bright and shiny as the sun. I wonder what kind of hair my mother has. December 13th. My eyes are almost fully developed, although the lids are still shut. When Mother brings me into the world, it will be full of sunshine and overflowing with flowers. I have never seen a flower, you know, but more than anything, I want to see my mommy. How do you look, Mommy? December 24th. I wonder if my mother hears the delicate beat of my heart. Some children are born with sickly hearts, and then the gentle fingers of the doctor performs miracles to make them healthy. But my heart is healthy. It beats so evenly. Tup, 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 tup. You shall have a healthy son, Mother. December 28th. Today, my mother killed me.
I wonder what I would have grown up to be. I guess I'll never know, 'cause Mommy, you killed me.
There you go, Connie. You owe me a coat hanger. Again.
Shaking the blues away, unhappy blues away. If you are blue, it's easy to shake off your cares. Do like the sinners do, listening to a preacher way down south. They shake their bodies so to and fro. With every shake, a lucky break, proving that there's a way to shake your cares away. If you would lose your weary blues, shake them away. If you got them, do the black bottom. Gotta shake it and fake it. Nothing to lose, there'll be good news if you wear out your shoes. Ooh, shaking the blues away.
Speaking of shaking those blues away, Seekers, have you ever considered drugs? Oh, I'm not talking about mere chemicals, as you'll find out from our next selection, a religious album from... Well, look at this, Waco, Texas. Natural High, a folk musical about God's son, in which the writer Ralph Carmichael tries to get kids hooked on the ultimate bad drug, God. Hey, you don't believe me? Hear for yourself.
Come on, Mr. Thumbs. You're not the only guy who feels like he's got two left feet.
This is always happening to me.
Half the kids I know are trying to find a way to get it together.
Sometimes I wonder if it's worth trying to get it together.
Well, you've only got two choices. You either get it together or you stay strung out for the rest of your life.
Well, I sure know a lot of kids that are strung out.
But Jackie, they're looking for something. Maybe that's why they're turning to drugs.
Yeah, sure they are. So?
But what they don't realize, Murph, is that the drugs won't make it. What they're really looking for is, are you ready? God.
Oh, come on. Drugs or God? What's the difference?
Yeah, some kids escape with drugs. That's their thing. And others escape with God, and that's their thing.
Hey, wait a minute, Murph. God's not just another narcotic.
Or another escape from reality, or another way to drop out.
He gives you the tools to cope with reality.
Yeah, he is reality.
It's a scientific formula, effectively reduced to simple terms so everyone can try.
It's a perfectly legal, non-chemically induced, logically natural high. Just turn on your mind to wisdom. Turn on your heart to love. Turn on your soul, but natural. Turn on to God above. Whoa. Turn on your mind to good news. Turn on your heart to care. Turn on your soul to something sure. Turn on to God, He's there. Sure!
buzz him till you get him squirming in his shirt. Be sure to move away so you will not get hurt. His slap is often fatal. Swarm him if you're able. Watch him start to squirm. He's very fast to learn how quickly you can fit. He'll get the hang of it and move in for the kill. So you must not be still. One second, one moment. There's a great big world out there with a lot of good times to share. And I've got a lot of living to do, 'cause I've been given the chance to spread my wings and to dance every wonderful moment of every beautiful day. If there's a will, there's a way to find the good life every day. Spread your wings, fly high. You'll never know all you missed if you never try. There's a great big world out there with a lot of good times to share. And I've got a lot of living to do, 'cause I've been given the chance to spread my wings and to dance every wonderful moment of every beautiful day. In every heart lies a beat. Life writes its own tune now, ain't it sweet? Sing your song, fly high. You'll never know all you missed if you never try. There's a great big world out there with a lot of good times to share. And I've got a lot of living to do, 'cause I've been given the chance to spread my wings and to dance every wonderful moment of every beautiful day. Every wonderful moment of every beautiful day. There's a great big world out there.
You'd be seeing our new friend Sue Alexander again. I guess it is a great big beautiful world full of thermonuclear weapons. But at least she didn't get into any of the church's private stock. We need to keep our arsenal just the way it is, ready for X Day. Just let me go over my checklist here. I may be able to wrap up this show early if I've done my job. Let's see. Okay, I've offended Tony Award-winning actresses, the mafia, the religious right, the intellectual left, the middle-of-the-road mush people, heterosexuals, homosexuals, hardly sexuals, starry-eyed new-age dorks, Christian drug pushers, fetuses, Satanists. Oh, yeah, I almost forgot. Hey, Seekers, Satan ain't nothing but Bob's butt boy. There, okay, Satanists, garbage men, vinyl freaks. Wait a minute, there's nothing wrong with people who are into vinyl. They're just misunderstood. Seekers, I can't hide it. Oh, I can't be a vinyl closet case. Sure, it's a perversion, but the happiest man in the world is a satisfied pervert. And baby, scoring a stack of rancid wax is better than mere sex for me. Oh, I know, after the first time I heard that little Marky cut, I needed a cigarette real bad. Yeah, I'm afraid my vinyl fetish rules my life. I don't have a regular job, but every spare cent I make goes into getting more records. It's like some mornings I wake up galvanized. I feel a movement in the force somewhere. So I pull on my combat uniform of t-shirt, black leggings, and plain white kids, and leap into my car and head for wherever Bob takes me in search of treasure. Yard sales, little record shops with $1 bargain bins like Full Moon. Oh, bless people like that. And oh, the thrift stores. Oh, yes, the thrift stores of this great land have been very, very good to me. While it is a solitary passion of mine, occasionally I run into fellow travelers as we dig through the dusty stacks of albums. People like the perhaps too vivacious Senorita Huevos Rancheros that I met up at America's Thrift Store in Marietta. And Mo, the wonderfully slack fellow I met in the dark at a burned-out thrift in Doraville the other day that was having a smoke damage sale. Oh, that was singular. Like ships passing out in the night, we make brief contact and then I must move on. Because like a shark, I must keep going in the service of my ministry. I hit the thrifts robotically 6, 7, 8, even 9 stores in a day until my money and my bladder both give out and I can't go on any farther. Those masochistic crucifixion cults ain't got nothing on the flues and the grips of a good record sweep. But as a result of my monomaniacal passion, I have about 45 to 50 feet of records. And yes, most of it is crap, thank you. And you'll be hearing it until X day next year, even the crap. Especially the crap, because somebody needs to love the crappy old records out there. It's not their fault they're bad, it's their environment. Oh, some of this stuff has been given up for dead long ago, consigned to soggy boxes at flea markets, alternately freezing and roasting depending on the whim of the weather. It's these poor abused babies that really bring out the Sally Struthers in me. Oh, like that copy of Astro Sounds from Beyond the Year 2000 that was at that outdoor flea market in Gadsden, Alabama that was all chewed up and eaten away with crud and mildew and... Oh, I can't go there. No. No, this way is littered with painful memories. Oh, but I must go. I must. Because like Clara Barton on the battlefield, I move among the dead and dying in their mildew-encrusted, rotting cardboard coffins, searching till I find it, that glimmer. Yes, yes, here, here come to Mama. Oh, look. Oh, Doug Clark and the Hot Nuts. Oh, one side still looks almost playable. Oh, yes. Somehow, even out here in this hellish Pobucker graveyard, there are still records that are still too strong or too horrible to die, lying dormant beneath a protective coating of grime and fungus like snoozing scorpions. Oh, and look at this one. Oh, it's still factory sealed. A copy of Alonco Presents the Jack Evans Trio. Oh, look, it's a sales promotion record by a cheesy disco-era two-chicken-one-guy washed-up lounge combo. Oh, and it's from when they appeared in an agricultural chemical supply convention, performing a Tom T. Hall song. Oh, and it's an ode to a chemical fungicide called Mientreflin. Oh, pinch me, I'm creaming. Let's check this out.
Mientreflin got her own. Got her own thing going. I believe.
song was originally me and Jesus. Oh, shut up, Agnes.
Martha and Virginia Woolf on the stage for 5 years. I know what to do with people like you. I've got chunks of stupid little tramps like you in my stall.
Yeah. Oh, what a wonderful night it's been. I feel like I've had a cerebral high colonic. Maybe I shouldn't have stripped so much of the mystery from what I do, but now that some of you have actually seen me in action, I'm sure that now you're even more dubious and stunned that I'm able to put together this crappy little show of mine at all. Why do I do it? It's not the money, the glamour, the ego waxing. Oh, I haven't found those yet. It's something else. It's the beat. The beat of the traps. Good night, seekers.
The place where rhythm has its start. The traps, the snares, skins alive. Swishing brushes, beaten sticks, alive, alive, alive. Respond you with a blues. Proud, tense, staccato, in double rhythm. The booming bass, I break loud and low, maintains the tempo, both heads proud, blast plates, gleam in the clanging pills, quiver live in love with a snares. One-headed drum with a loose metal disc. Strange rhythm produced by the hands and the wrists. My rockers rattle in a lively measure. Feel of the chords increase the pleasure. Three-sided rod, a jingles when tapped. Not often used. It's part of the traps. Percussion. Accentuate the sound, throbbing, pulsing.